time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We back in your ear. Crystal clear. All the fly shit, you know? Happy pre-Juneteenth. You know what I mean? Juneteenth Eve. Yeah, man. We out here. Black liberation. What?
I ain't never celebrate Juneteenth, man.
I mean, I don't celebrate it. I acknowledge, I observe it. You know how they do that? I observe it. I observe. Right. It's still a new kind of thing. I mean, I know the Texans been doing it for years, but to me, it's like one of them, I don't want to say newfangled, but it felt like
that's a national holiday. Cause they threw that shit in there when nobody asked for it.
Yeah. It felt like some shit they threw in the midst of a hostile negotiation. It was like, all right. What if we give you, you know, so, yeah, if y'all observing it or celebrating it, you know, salute to y'all, you know, the eve of Juneteenth.
Right. Yeah. But like I had said, when we talked about this before, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some cultures have been celebrating that shit because it came from certain places like Texas. So,
right.
I can't rain on a parade for sure. I just never grew up with it, didn't know nothing about it until a grown up age. And it's like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Nah. I see it as a new one, but I'm not going to lie. I'm claiming that shit. You know, I'm not working for no white folks on Juneteenth. I had to shut somebody down. I said, I need to be by myself or with my people. That's a very special day for me. It's very, it means a lot. You know, it already means a lot to me. It's very important to my culture.
Okay.
But, okay. Yeah, man. Hell yeah, shit, I'm going to take it.
Juneteenth D, goddamn.
Juneteenth D, you know what I mean? Yeah, shit. I don't know what the saying is outside of Happy Juneteenth. I don't know if there's anything that goes along with it. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm fucking conflating it with Kwanzaa. But,
Ubuntu, my nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
What the nigga said on power?
We said Django. No, Jumbo. Jumbo, nigga. That's what. Hey, man. Jumbo, niggas.
That's conflation like a motherfucker.
Jumbo for Juneteenth. So that's that. Oh, man. But yo, man, how you doing, man? What's cracking with you?
Ah, man. I'm fresh off of Father's Day, my man. You know what I'm saying? Nice. Black fathers. Shout out to the black fathers and shout out to all the black fathers and all the listeners that chime in and you know what I'm saying, hit a nigga with the black fathers every time you know what I'm saying, Father's Day come around or you post something about your kids. So that was dope. Put together a nice little slideshow on stories.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just showing different little times and eras of black fatherhood. You know what I'm saying? With just the kids. Shit. Went to dinner with you know, my daughter and my oldest son, my middle son in Chicago. So shout out to Ace. So my son's his girlfriend. So, you know what I'm saying? My little burgeoning family is popping. My wife was out of town, so you know, she sent her regards.
I like that. Regards. That's
what's up. So that was cool. You know what I'm saying? We kicked it, hung out, you know what I mean? And then, you know, had a full meal with goddamn dessert, everything, you know, trying to just be in a celebratory space of consumption. And that was dope. You know what I'm saying? But it just had a nigga... going through the pictures, the fine pictures and shit, you know, like social media is a job. So, you know what I'm saying? You gotta go through the drives and find some old pictures and shit. And it was cool because you remember the era. And I'm removed from it now because all the kids getting grown, you know what I'm saying? And my daughter's seven, the baby's 17, you know, teenage, they don't be really wanting to fuck with you like that. But she still play along. But in those days, they were like the kids, you know what I'm saying? They was like little and, you know what I'm saying, got to do their homework and, you know what I'm saying? Like one video, my middle son, he was in the kitchen with his mama and I was in my studio playing music. And I guess she told him to go do his homework. And as he was going to do his homework, he has a little pencil bag. As he was headed to do his homework, he just bust out in the dance all the way through the studio. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to go ahead and get this dance out, and then I'm going to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's almost mm-hmm. one of the moments where be like, take your ass over to get the damn homework done. But I was laughing so hard to myself, I just let him rock. And he hopped on out. You know what I'm saying? So that was dope. So, you know what I'm saying? Just going through the visuals of, you know what I'm saying, your times past. And I can remember the era, you know, where you still trying to hustle and still trying to be an entrepreneur, but you got to drop off and do PTA meetings. And you know what I'm saying? You still had all that type of stuff to do. And somehow you were able to get it done. You know what I'm saying? Somehow your mind didn't get trapped one way or the other, and you still was doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's just hard to fathom now that you ain't in it. And I say it all the time when people always be saying, like, a nigga be in a midlife crisis. That shit don't really be a midlife crisis. A nigga just had his mind to himself after a while. You know what I'm saying? A nigga's like, shit, I got my mind and my money to myself. I'm going to do some shit I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's almost where you at. So you look at it in nostalgia, but then you come back to your current self like, I got to figure out how I'm finna do this shit now. You know what I'm saying? So after Father's Day, you're left in a state of, how am I going to do this shit now? You know what I'm saying? And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you get reflective? But you obviously, you take a minute to look back on it. But with that said, right, and saying that, you know, now you got to get shit cracking or whatever, looking back at doing all of that, you know, all the fathering throughout those years and those eras and things of that nature, does that give you the kind of the gas needed to move on whatever the next endeavor is? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you look back on the highlights, so not even the highlights, but the highlights and whatever you endured or whatever you had to do, but the fact of the matter is you got it done. Does that make you say, oh, I bet I'm good? Kind of like, you know, one of those moments where you tap in and you review the tapes and there's evidence. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I could do this. And let me use this as, like I said, as some gas to move forward.
Nah, it ain't enough gas. You know what I'm saying? Not that alone, you know? Because what happens is, in that era, they are the motivation. You know what I'm saying? Like, these little motherfuckers got to eat every single meal. You know what I'm saying? They got to, every fucking few weeks, it's a thing that need to be done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whether it's school got to get paid for, clothes got to get bought, haircuts had to be had. You know what I'm saying? It's always something. And now it ain't as much stuff. You know what I'm saying? You got college, you know, once, twice a year. Then, you know, you got one kid. You know what I mean? So the motivation like it used to be isn't there, and you're so used to, it's almost like being, what do they call that? You know what I'm saying? Not proactive, you're just being reactive, because you're reacting to all of this stuff that got to go on, and it's five of y'all, you know what I'm saying? So now it's kind of not that many motherfuckers no more, so it's, okay, I could breathe, but really, can you? Can you really get to it and breathe at the same time? Yes, you can, but how? Now, what's your new motivation? You know what I'm saying? Is it you want to get these goals and dreams accomplished? You know what I'm saying? Do you want to retire? What is it that you want? Like, you don't have something that's right on you so imminently that it forces you to move. You know what I mean? So, especially now, you know what I'm saying? You coming into a new world, you just actually want to recoup. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, let me chill. Maybe I did too much of all that shit. Maybe I need to chill. You know what I'm saying? But then things started to come up. Like, new things are coming up now. Like, how am I, like, new work, new things, new ways to work, new opportunities coming at you. You seeing them. And then you like, okay, in order to take advantage of that opportunity, I got to do some certain things. And some of that shit is things I never had to do. Like, shit, I never really had to make a resume. You know what I'm saying? But now, niggas want to see who you are, what you do. You know what I'm saying? Your social media ain't like you 25 years old and you documented everything you ever done. So now mm-hmm. you gotta somehow narrate your all this shit you had to prove to yourself. You got to prove it to everybody else now, because now you ain't the core demo nigga. You got to be motherfucking impressive now. You got mm-hmm. to be, you got to be, you know what I'm saying? As my pops used to be like, well, you ain't old if you're relevant. You got to right. prove your relevance. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's a job in itself, come to find out. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm putting together, you know what I'm saying, the story, the narrative of my career and how it makes sense in this day and age, and all that experience adds up to I can do these things in this day and age. That ain't as simple and clear cut. You know what I'm saying? It's not like 1 + 1 = 2 no more. You know what I'm saying? But luckily, I have transferable skills, and the things that I've done in my career are things that still need to happen. You know what I'm saying? People still need to do that type shit. And, you know, it ain't taken over by AI just yet. You know what I mean? Because, mm-hmm. shit, we might be in the last era of jobs. You know what I'm saying? So right. how do you come out clean before you get out of here so you could make sure that your shit stay popping? You know what I mean? So that's what I'm on. And that's how I'm looking at it. That's what I'm faced with. That's what's, you know what I'm saying, in front of me. And everybody going through, everybody trying to figure out, okay, what's my next move? I got to bust the next move. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're an entrepreneur, even as an entrepreneur, you got to figure out, okay, how I'm going to make this work with this, all this new shit coming and all this AI and all this technology. And you know what I'm saying? And you ain't up on all that shit all at once. What is you going to get up on? Because you can't get up on all of it at once. So you got to figure out which part you're going to tackle, which parts apply to you. And shit gets scary. You know what I'm saying? You start to feel old, especially when you're recuperating and you laid back and reading the clouds of shit. You're like, damn, can I even jump back out here and be strong? But then you start looking at what's out there and you start looking at the opportunities and you start assessing the opportunities. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck that. These niggas ain't got shit on me. Fuck out of here.
Which is funny, because that's almost like the spirit. You know, that spirit is something that is almost evergreen. You know what right. I mean? Like, these niggas ain't got shit on me. You can say that at 21. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just making space for yourself. Like, what the fuck that, nigga? You got to look in the mirror and recognize who you are. You but know what I mean?
Say,
yeah.
That's the shit that keep you going. I remember being, when I went to FAMU to visit mm-hmm. in high school, I remember I had on my Fila sweatsuit and some ballets. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm a nice Fila sweatsuit. It was like a powder blue and white sleeve-ass mm-hmm. sweatsuit with like a yellow zipper thing. I had on my blue suede ballets and shit. Fresh cut. I remember walking through campus, looking around, thinking, these niggas ain't got shit on me. Right. I'm coming in this motherfucker. It's all, and then you move to New York. You know what I'm saying? Then you end up in a conference room and you got all the execs and shit and they talking and you thinking, man, these niggas don't know this shit. You know what I'm saying? You ain't even got a voice yet, but you got the answer in your head. You're like, man, these niggas ain't got shit on me. And then that propels you into a new space, into a new city and a new career, a new thing, and gets you going. You know what I'm saying? So as long as you could find a way, find the thing that is irreplaceable about you, that shit will propel you. And that's the shit you got to find. Because once you got all the external stuff like family, kids, and bills, you know what I'm saying? That stuff is pushing you along. But when that stuff starts to even out, you need that motivation of self, you know what I'm saying, to get to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's real.
Yo.
That's real shit.
Shit. What's happening with you?
Man, similar stuff. Just, you know, like kind of trying to figure, you know, just reapproaching. Not reapproaching, but like, yeah, just I really wanna, I've said this shit for years and years, but I really wanna like put more out in the content space. You know what I'm saying? Whatever that is. And the reality of it is you know, it comes from not overthinking none of this shit. Mm-hmm. You just got to do whatever comes, because that's the thing. Like, you know, you talk about reading the clouds or the antenna and all of that. You know, sometimes if you're not careful, overthinking is just like putting a bunch of shit in front of the, you know, it's like, you know how when they say if your Wi-Fi is acting up, make sure that, you know, the router's not crowded. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got all this shit around, you know, and just all of that overthought and all of that. Just trust what it is and pull triggers. There's always these moments where I kind of got to recalibrate and pull a trigger, hit publish on some shit that, you know, I might feel 87% on, 63% on, 91% on, but it's just like you got to put this shit out. And particularly for me, sometimes I look at so much shit. You know, the thing about the internet is there's so much shit that you could look at. You're looking at everybody's work. Mm-hmm. And it could be intimidating because some people's work is at different levels. And I'm not even talking about funny or anything like that. I'm like just looking at it broadly. Like just, you know, I would like to, you know, and it sounds crazy because I hear you said, hi, guys. You know what I mean? But like, you know, the vlogging and all right. of that, like, you know, just telling the stories and shit like that. Right.
Well, I got to say hi, guys.
No, because that's how you say when you talk about it, like the hi, guys. And I never even caught the hi, guys before. But it's definitely there's a genre of hi, guys. But I'm not in the hi, guys. But, you know, like there's a genre of that shit. And then I was just watching this cat earlier today, and like some people, they're masterful at that content shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like the shots are fucking phenomenal. The color grading, nigga, I don't know nothing about color grading. Color grading is amazing. The score is fire in a YouTube video. The score, you like, damn, nigga, I'm Shazamming a YouTube video. This shit is fantastic. The reflection is deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a narrative that just don't have nothing to do with nothing, like 50 on Power. The narrative, the little, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes 50 shit be sounding crazy. Yeah, or, you know what I mean? The beginning of Raising Kanan.
Right.
It'd be like, sometimes when you go fishing, you know what I mean? You get seasick, but one thing about duck sauce is that it's always sweet. Like, what, nigga? What is you talking about? But, you know, but he say it with the conviction of somebody that. But anyway, all of that aside, it's just like, all right, well, you know, figure it out. Put something out. What I've been trying to do more of, and it's just being more mindful of, like, the collection of the documentation. You know what I'm saying? Like, being mindful enough to be like, oh, yo, let me catch a nice little, some B-roll of this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me tell a story. Like, kind of, or you want to keep it all the way 1,000, like, before you go do anything, even if it's mundane, but you want this shit to be a story, storyboard that mundane shit and turn it into some smooth shit. Because I done watched some mundane shit, but the way the shots was and the way the shit fell, I'm like, yo, you know what I mean? Like, they got me. So I would like to do a little bit more of that. Beyond that, man, it's just, yeah. So that's been something I've been thinking of, and I'm trying to also not undermining whatever I got. You know what I'm saying? You know, cause that's easy to quickly judge your shit and be like, I don't know, or whatever, man. Sometimes put the shit out and give it to the people. You know what I'm saying? Some people might appreciate that shit. Not to say that you don't appreciate it, but you know, like, you might have been sitting with it for so long that you're seeing it differently. It's just, I want to tap more into that, the momentum of creation, execution. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, just really just putting shit in the world. You know, so that's where I'm at right now. Like, doing that. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, man. It's crazy because, you know, sometimes when something is your job, it becomes not cool to do that shit when you chilling right. to yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it is to me. It's like, damn, I gotta do this shit for myself too. I gotta look like I'm shooting and pull out my camera and get down in the pose and get the angle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to casually shoot some shit. I know how to shoot it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So for me, it's always like, damn, I got to switch out of that thinking. Because I do watch people, you know what I'm saying? They be documenting the shit out of something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think of my man D, and this is for me, this is for everybody. You know what I'm saying? My man D used to work in news. You know what I'm saying? So when we started shooting other stuff and he would work with me sometimes, he would always say, in news, it only takes 12 shots to make a story. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, you know, you get a wide of the area, you know what I'm saying, a tight of the pertinent information, mids of this, couple of interviews, you know what I mean? And you got a story. You put the words to it, that's a story. So same thing with your life and shooting, documenting something. It takes 12 shots. You know what I'm saying? You go to a spot, show the outside, you know what I'm saying? Go close up on the sign, show some action. You know what I'm saying? Couple of little cutaway B-rolls and a good going away. You know what I mean? People make a reel out of that shit and it's done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But me, I be done, not thinking about the shit until I'm ready to go. Like, damn, got one shot.
Then
I want to put it in on my feed, so I just put the stories, that shit going the next day. I got to do better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it is. Just got to keep going. Do better. Yeah. Without beating yourself up over it.
No, I'm not beating myself up because I really
did. I'm talking to me, actually. But go ahead. I'm talking to
whoever else is beating himself. I didn't give a fuck. Nothing was on my fucking feed. But now, you know what I'm saying? When you stepping back into the game, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Back on the streets, mm-hmm. you got to compete. You got to do something. You got to keep some shit coming to your motherfucking page, you know what I'm saying? Keep your name out there or niggas will forget that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way this shit going. Like, you ain't got your shit out there, people going to forget your name, man. Huh? Mm-hmm. Forget what I forgot he do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can't have that.
Nah. So you got to get on your clue. Do remember. But yeah, no, for sure. Oh, man. But yeah, so that's that. That's what's going on with the kid. I'm trying to think what else is going on, man. Yeah, just chilling, just working. Mm-hmm. A couple shows this week. Going out to Batavia next weekend. Mm-hmm. Probably try to shoot some shit out in Batavia. Figure that out. Whatever that is. I'm kind of excited about Batavia not being crazy. Chicago. You know what I mean?
Crazy because you have been pronouncing it Batavia so long.
Oh, man. And then I was pronouncing it Batvia. I fucked the whole shit up quite a few times. You know what I mean?
So now you're saying Batavia. I got a cousin named Tavia.
Damn,
Tavia, what Tavia doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But go ahead.
Shout out to Tavia. But you know, about to be out there. Just, you know, like, just do some of this shit. Just put this shit together. See what's what.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching, I think I told y'all last week, but for a while I've been watching a lot of old movies, random movies, you know. Mm-hmm. Go to the library if I see something that's interesting, or if I'm looking at one of them Criterion Closet videos and shit like that, I might take a recommendation from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was watching After Hours, mm-hmm. one of the old Scorsese films, and it was interesting. I liked it. It's different than your traditional Scorsese shit, because you know Scorsese typically, you know, is definitely known for some mob type shit. Mm-hmm. It's a New York ass movie, but it's not mob. It's just a guy basically got off work and just kind of got caught up in the stream of the after hours, literally. Mm-hmm. You know, he was working at a job as a word processor. You can tell it's like a very regular ass job. As Chris Lambert would say, he's working on his TPS reports. You know what I'm saying? Just regular, you know, just a job, you know. And then he walks, stumbles out the job, goes home, listens to his little answer machine. Shit is dry. So then he wound up going to just a little diner to go get something to eat. That probably would have capped it, you know. Mm-hmm. But then he's reading a book while he's at the diner, which is funny because that's like looking at your phone now. So he's just reading a book while he's at the diner. And then this woman from a couple tables away catches his eye, says something to him, like, you know, strikes up a conversation with him. She come over to the table. They chop it up. She's attractive. He feeling her. She say some shit about, yeah, I'm about to run downtown. I'm about to run to Soho. They like on Upper East Side. I'm about to run to Soho. Go hang out with my home girl. She's an artist. She makes these paperweights that are like, you know, bagels with locks. She turns these like little sculpture paperweights and whatever that she's selling them. If you ever want to buy one, you know, you could call this number or whatever. He's like, yeah, give me the number. That's going to be the excuse, but he got the number. So then he go back to the crib. He's sitting there, no board. That boredom hit him. You know what I'm saying? I guess he's listless. He wants something to do with his life. So he dial her up. And she's like, yeah, we down here, so come on down. So he take the cab all the way down. And, you know, shit starts to unravel from there. Like, the cab driver's driving erratically. The windows is down. This is back. It is so, it's, what's cool is when you watch these movies, I think this might have been in the early 80s, maybe even 70s. So this early movie, they in the back of the cab. I forgot, this back of the cab when, like, we used to have to pay the cab driver, and they used to have that like little cradle that like rocks back and forth where you put your money in and then you push it forward and then they grab it on the partition or whatever. So he got the $20 there, but the dude driving so fast, the $20 flies out the window. So then he ain't got nothing to pay the cab driver. And he ain't got no money. So now he down in Soho stranded, and then just, it goes on from there, and it's all of the shit that's going to go on downtown. And this whole thing is he's just trying to get back uptown after a while. Like, you know what I mean? And all types of shit happens. And it's one of those type of things, but it was just it was a cool story. It was funny. Nice. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of this type of shit, like just older, you know, older movies and just I guess, looking at things differently and, like, just in the storytelling realm of it all. You know, mm-hmm. There's something I still have that desire. I definitely want to write and direct a movie at some point in life.
Nice.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. Do that shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that shit. I just, I hit Ice-T up, right?
Just now?
While you were saying this story. Because you were saying this story, Ice-T came on the Instagram and posted a picture that Glenn Friedman posted of him in, I don't know what kind of car this is, Maserati or something, Ferrari. No, it's a Ferrari, old school Ferrari. Uh-huh. But it was, you know, brand new at the time, so it was like some old baller shit. Shit, you know, Euro shit that niggas hadn't seen, especially in my world. It was all about American cars and shit. And so he was on a whole nother level. When he shot his videos, it was like nigga had a mansion with the roof that was convertible that opened up. You know what I'm saying? The nigga was on some other shit. L.A. shit. Like, niggas ain't really know about L.A. balling to Ice-T. And then as you was telling that story, he had posted this thing that says, if somebody asks who took the rap game up to baller level, you know the answer. 1987, right? So I just saw that in the corner of my eye. But I was like, damn. And I always had this idea that the Ice-T record Soul on Ice needs to be a fucking, first of all, it always needed a video, which they didn't have in that era. It needed a video. It needed to either be retrofitted to a movie or a series. So I just posted that shit on his page. I don't know what the fuck gonna happen out of that, but it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I just did that shit because you was talking about this movie. Thank you. So I just shot a shot. It worked the last time I did that. But
oh, yeah? With who?
Yeah, I can't say because we're in the middle of the project. You know, but I can't say it.
Okay. But oh, okay.
When
okay.
He was on Instagram saying he got out this other deal, I just went in the comments, was like, nigga, what's up then? You know what I'm saying? And then I tagged his manager, and that's how I got into the mix. And then I was able to connect it. Boom, we connected it, put it with a studio, and now we working on it. You know what I'm saying? So shoot that shit, man. Shoot the shot.
Yeah, you got it. They got to shoot the shot. That's it. That's it. Nah, I'm with it. That's the sentiment.
You know what I'm saying? So that's all. That was wild that was all going on at the same time. That's wild.
Shit. What else is going on with you, though?
Man, Merlot came home. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
So, you know, I like I said, got into the little fender bender, bust out the grill and piece of the surround of the light. And I couldn't find the surround, you know what I'm saying, on the right side. So I had the idea maybe I should put the Euro lights, the Euro spec lights in that don't have the surround, just the light fill up the whole space. Maybe that'll help solve my problems. And it did, you know what I'm saying? It was out the way. It was a whole side mission to go get them, you know what I'm saying? When I was in New York, I found them on Facebook Marketplace, but they were like in D.C., you know what I'm saying? So I had to take a side quest to D.C. to go grab the lights, and then I jumped on a plane from D.C. And then people was like, you in this car, what is going on with you in this car? And my response was, because I thought about it, because at this point, the car in the shop, you know what I'm saying? And the thing that I thought about most when as soon as the motherfucker hit the other car, I thought about, damn, I ain't have enough fun in this motherfucker yet. You know what I'm saying? If this shit is fucked up, damn, did I take enough pictures? Did I document this shit? Well, I'm just going to be a nigga talking about, yeah, I had one of them. You know what I'm saying? So motherfucker asked me, like, what's with you in this car? And I thought to myself, man, a nigga needs something to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga needs something, man. And that's what I'm realizing. Like, I ain't have no hobbies and shit like that. But again, the kids is out the way. Nigga needs something to do, man. You know what I'm saying? And that shit, it works your brain trying to figure out, you know what I mean, how you going to do shit and what need to be fixed and how you going to tune that shit right and how you going to keep that shit together. And that shit is a process. And then you start to see other people doing it. The more you do it, the more you outside with it, the more people talk to you about it, it becomes another part of life. You know what I'm saying? And a nigga need that. You know what I'm saying? They be acting like a nigga can't have shit. Except football and basketball. Like, they okay with you going and watch the game. You know what I'm saying? But you nigga need something to do, man.
Yeah, man. You enjoying it?
Man, I love it, man. I'm enjoying it more now because, like I said, that in that little moment of damn, it could be a wrap. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't. You know what I'm saying? All this shit got cleaned up. The wizard did his thing. It wasn't even that bad, but the wizard made that shit like it didn't even exist. You know what I'm saying? Even when I took it to the other shop to get the radiator part done, they were like, "Man, this motherfucker clean, man." And these niggas who fix all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? All kind of clean shit. So. Right. It feel good to have some shit that you took care of, and you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I had that car about 6 years. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. It's been that long?
Yeah, it's been five and a half. It's been people who get a loan on a car, and shit, after 3 years, that shit look crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So to get a 86, you know what I'm saying, in 2019, to keep it, you know what I'm saying, looking good as it always look, that's a fucking, that shit is a, it ain't a real accomplishment as far as life, but it's a personal achievement, you know what I'm saying, to where when you come out, you look at your shit, you like, yeah, I did that shit, you know what I'm saying, you move differently, you move with a sense of pride because you actually put the work in, you actually keep doing the work to keep the shit going, and I drove that bitch every day for like 2 years. Every single day.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? It is. And then now we working on the truck. The truck went in to get the suspension and all that shit done. and it's a different kind of car. So you're learning about those cars and those engines and those parts and those suspensions and those lift kits and shocks and, you know what I'm saying, torsion bars and all kind of shit that you didn't, like, you damn near mechanic. I just can't fix shit, but I know shit.
Right. You know, you could identify the problem.
Right.
You could point at the shit and say, that's that.
Right.
Yeah, all right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? It, like I said, it ain't like a momentous achievement, but it's something personal that keeps you going, keeps you good. Like, when a motherfucker could recognize your shit next to some shit nigga done spent $300,000 for, and it's in the same conversation, you like, damn, that feel good. You know what I'm saying? You pull up to the valet, nigga jump out of the Lamborghini, like, yeah, all this shit clean. The nigga in the Lamborghini, like, nigga, what?
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Wait a fucking minute. You know
what the fuck is going on here? This is,
you know what I'm saying? You can't beat 300,000, but you could be in the conversation. No pun intended. But intended.
Yeah, it is. All the way intended, for sure. For sure. No, yeah, that's what's up.
So that's been cool. Merlo came home and I was watching my son dog because they was on vacation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now I'm on dog duty.
The dog's name Apollo, right?
Yeah, something Apollo. Like that? Apollo. Yeah.
Okay.
Apollo. Mm-hmm. So I was finishing up with Apollo, and it was raining and shit. And I had discovered, and I've seen it on other cars, but I never turned mine on because, you know, you always in the car when the light's on. You ain't outside looking at it. I never turned the fog lights on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this little light on about a bulb, and I'm like, damn, all my lights working. What the fuck this shit talking about? So I turned on all the lights just to make sure all of them was working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was raining and shit. And I got out, and I'm like, damn, this bitch look hard with the fog lights on. Now I ain't driving nowhere without them on. You know what I'm saying? Every time it's light, I'm turning
it
on.
Have to be, it could be bright as shit. Fog lights is on.
I'm turning on all the lights every time. If I got to go somewhere around some people. I'm like, this bitch hard. It's raining. I got my camera. I took me a little picture. Pow. I posted that shit before I took off, nigga.
That's funny. I saw that shit. That shit was tough.
Yeah, I'm like, this bitch look hard, boy. I felt good. Pow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
what you taking for? Was that the iPhone?
Yeah, this was a phone.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
A nigga needs something to do, man. Because sometimes you sit around, you know what I mean? You just doing work. You doing shit you got to do. Sometimes you just need some shit you want to do. Some shit that just make you feel good, you know?
Right.
That's all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now I get it. You know what I'm saying? I used to see old man doing different shit, racing cars, and some cats cut their grass every day. You like, why is this nigga cutting the grass every day? Because that shit make him feel good. He come home, his shit the freshest yard on the block. That shit got to feel good.
Go line up his yard.
Yeah, nigga, we gonna line up. Like, and ain't nobody fucking with him out there. You know what I'm saying? Nobody want to jump in your 86. You know what I'm saying? Because kids, they don't understand. You know what I'm saying? So,
but they peep it too. Because to that point, right? My brother-in-law, my family, they had a bird, DJ. They had Daisy and DJ. They had
what kind of bird?
One was African. Parrots. One was. Yeah, one was an African gray. I forget what the other one. I think the other one was just like a regular parrot, right? And then they used to be together, Daisy and DJ. Daisy died probably about a year before DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And it died like just suddenly, fell in the thing, you screamed, fell in the cage, died. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, quietly the joke was DJ killed her. Right, that was just the joke because Daisy used to kind of bully DJ. Daisy was a little bigger than DJ, and she used to kind of bully him. You know what I mean? DJ's kind of like real shaky. You know what I'm saying? Like anxious, a little anxious ass African gray. But unfortunately, about a month or two ago, maybe a little longer ago. DJ finally passed, right? They were older. You know, birds lived for a while. But, you know, we was kicking it on Father's Day, right? And I think my sister or my niece was saying that, because we're driving, we're pulling up to the crib, and they're looking at other people's yards and the hedges, and some of these hedges is looking crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some of these hedges is woofing. So there's that little commentary on that. And either my sister or my niece was like, yeah, you know, so crazy that it was Daisy. It was so crazy that Daisy would just be on your shoulder while you would clean the hedges, mm-hmm. while you would use the little hedge clippers. Now, the hedge clippers is loud as shit. And this is I never really seen the birds too tough outside of the cage that often, but just to think that he over there shaping up the hedges with a parrot on his shoulder. First of all, that gotta look crazy to people. Like, yo, what the fuck is going on over there? But it's that type of quirk that people remember for a long ass time. Like, yeah. I never saw it, but just hearing the recall of it, mm-hmm. it's an image. Like, right. Wow, that's kind of crazy. Right. So yeah, man. Yeah,
because he out there doing some shit he feel comfortable doing to make him feel good. Uh-huh. The bird probably uh-huh. like, this nigga comfortable. Let me go over there with him.
He chilling. I'm chilling with him.
No stress. Yeah. I'm going over here and chill.
Right, right. And that's a moment of bonding for them. You right. know what I'm saying? Even, you know, they might not speak the same language, right. but they kicking
but
it.
They
you
do.
Know what I'm saying?
The universal language. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The universal language of a nigga needs something to do.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Damn, man. Oh, shit, man. Shout out to the hobbyists. You know what I mean?
Find yeah. something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It sounds reductive sometimes when you call it a hobby, but that's what it is.
That's what it is. And it's nothing wrong with it.
Nope.
It's not, you know, man, yeah. It's a hobby. It's, you know, yeah, because we've talked about that. You know, people, I think there's this association with a hobby being you just fucking around.
Just playing.
Yeah, nigga. Well, you ain't gonna make no money. You know what I'm saying? But no, nigga, that shit is. As some folks would call that shit a self-care. You know self-care. What I'm saying? That shit, yeah, man. That shit self-care. Is something for you.
And it yeah, do, and it can you. Make you money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could, but
you
don't have to.
If you want to buy and sell, just, you could do that. If you want to go help other motherfuckers, they'll pay you. But it'll help you make money because people see that on you. When you pull up, it's on you. So people want to talk to you about that. You talk to people that you wouldn't not necessarily ever talk to and make friends and do things and end up, you know what I'm saying, at these meets and all that shit. You end up into some whole other shit just because you fucking with the same kind of cars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
cars and Octane and then the dunk culture. Like Rick Ross car show just came. Man, niggas been talking about that shit ever since. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. My Facebook is filled with nothing but niggas talking about these dunks. And if downtown Bobby Brown should have beat, you know what I'm saying, Brown Sugar or what's the other one called? Something Heaven. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a conversation that's existing so hard. You know what I'm saying? And from that, I found this other cat who just be building them. Like, that's who they take this shit to. They build this shit. And this nigga be so insightful about the shit. You could tell this nigga just love that shit. Nigga was on the motherfucking live the other day. Think it was Father's Day. Niggas on the live in Aventura Mall. And you know how they had the cars parked in the inside the mall so you could look at the price and all that shit? It was a Bentley, a new Bentley. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, I guess he used to work at a Bentley place at Rolls Royce and he used to fix them, you know what I'm saying, for like 12 years. And now he just be building dunks. And he was like, the way he broke down the car had nothing to do with what everybody else broke down the car with. That shit was, he was like, man, look, he started off, he was like, this car got 22-inch rims on it. Look at the brake pad in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's like, that shit almost as big as the rim. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, damn, I ain't never seen that before. You know what I'm saying? You see brake little things be small inside of the rim. This shit was like all the way up. He's like,
husky.
Yeah, he was like, you know what I'm saying? You see them cracks in there? See, that's that carbon fiber. You know what I'm saying? This is different. This ain't, you know what I'm saying? It ain't about to look. Look at the engineering on this motherfucker, man. Then he started pointing that little shit. I was like, damn, this nigga know what the fuck he talking. He made me want to watch the rest of his shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So, yeah, man. That's all.
Yeah, man. That's what's up.
That's what's up. That's good. We out here. So, you know what I'm saying? I've been feeling self-conscious about posting all that shit, but fuck that shit.
Really?
Yeah, man. Because, you know, you don't want it to just be, this nigga bought his car. This nigga and his car. Oh, one car ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? So.
That's funny, man. It's funny the type of shit people could feel self-conscious about.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You don't know what people are saying on the other side until you do it. And then, but, right. You know, son, you just do that shit. You know, some people going to talk about whatever you talk about. You know what I'm saying? When I was doing the quotes in 2007, niggas was talking about that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can't even worry about it because it don't even fucking matter. Everybody is doing their own fucking network at their house. Some people in their draws. Some people try to keep it professional. Some people about family, the kids. Some people just on that motherfucker cussing and wilding out.
Yeah. It's your shit to do. It's your media to program. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. Yeah, I told you before, man. I gave you flowers on the your IG stories be very well curated and editorialized. You know what I'm saying? Like, your shit be, those shits be profound and poignant. What was the shit you did yesterday or today? It was like, listen, don't get caught up on the thorns. I said, look at this nigga. Yeah.
That was the day.
Don't get caught up on the thorns.
I was trying to figure out what to post, and I had this picture from, it was in Petite St. Vincent. And
look at that.
And I just took this picture. It was like of these flowers, but the flower tree had thorns on that bitch like a rose. And so you could see the flowers in the background, but the thorns are in the foreground in focus. So I'm like, oh, that'll be dope. Let me, you know what I'm saying? Let me say something about that. So I'm a little more comfortable with that because I've been doing it for a while.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that shit cool.
I just had to figure out the rest of this shit and how to take it from here to there. You know what I'm saying? Because before it was, you could post the kids and be daddypreneur or black fathers. You know what I'm saying? You could post little quotes and shit. Everything, it was like posting everything but your own self. You know what I'm saying? As far as editorializing your own self. And that's the point a nigga got to get to.
Right. Yeah. I understand that shit. Some motherfuckers do that shit so well, like I said. He like, damn, motherfuckers, they got money. He be like, yo, what's going on? How this shit is crazy. But yeah, you just gotta just jump in the fray.
Like, why you say they got money?
Cause the shit be looking like like I told you, the shit be looking like real life editorial. I show you the shit that I was just looking at earlier today. I was like, yo, this shit look like a magazine spread. You know what I mean? But from how they living, what they saying, it seems way more modest than that. So something, either, like, again, it must be the color grading, or maybe niggas is lying. Because this shit look aspirational. But the storytelling is very modest and humble. I'm like, this shit got me dizzy, you know? But it is what it is. What else is going on, dog? But it's funny, man. I was just laughing at, you know, some of the shit, you know, people could just be self-conscious about, right? So Sunday was Father's Day, right? So I took a page out of my brother-in-law's book. My brother-in-law, I got this thought, you know, as you get older, like, you know, even that, just self-conscious about this, it's either you're gonna get older or you're gonna die, right? So that's it, right? And, you know, relevant, all of that other shit, but you're older, you know what I'm saying? Like, you are part of a demo that to other people, it's older. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you have to make your peace with that. You know what I'm saying? You have to thrive in that, hopefully. You know? And it's funny because sometimes you don't feel as old as you are, right? You know, sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes you, because like everybody younger, I done lived that age. So I can kind of relate to that age. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh shit, this motherfucker over there 12. I remember when I was 12. You know what I'm saying? I know what living as a 12-year-old is. I know what living as a 31-year-old is. I know, oh shit, 17-year-old. You know what I mean? I've lived that life. And I don't really have, to be honest with you, much FOMO about life. I've mm-hmm. lived my life. You know what I mean? But a couple things. So we're just talking about, so two things, a couple thoughts about that. As you get older, it's just, you know, I pay attention to, you know, other older cats, right? So, and back to my brother-in-law, this is some shit that he used to do. He's just very practical. He's always been practical, even back in the day. You know what I mean? Young, but he's practical. And I find myself adopting certain shit. Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes it'd be so practical it almost seems psychotic, right? In the way of, like, for instance, as you get older, you know, people die, right? So, you know, look, when you go car shopping, maybe instead of buying one condolence card, buy about seven. Damn. You know what I'm saying? So now you got the clip full. So when somebody die, you ain't gotta run to the store. And it sounds wild and morbid or whatever, but it's just aggressive practicality. Right? So anyway, one of the practical things he do is like when all of these holidays come by, you know, he'll just text a bunch of people. You know what I mean? Whether it's the Happy New Year, whatever, whatever. And then it's so funny because, so Father's Day came past, right? And I went up against two different things, talking about being self-conscious about shit, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm texting a bunch of fathers in my phone, you know what I mean? And couple things. First off, I felt a little way because, nigga, I ain't a father. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even know how Happy Father's Day come from a motherfucker that ain't a father. You know what I'm saying? It's like Happy Juneteenth from a white man. Right. You know what I mean? Like, nah, you know, I, and obviously it's not the same thing. Obviously,
niggas had a father.
And you don't have to be dead to give somebody your condolences. You know what I'm saying? It's just an observation. It's like, yo, I know you're a father. Today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. So there's that. And then there's also the fact of it, like, and I don't know if you ever heard this or felt this or, you know what I'm saying? But, like, sometimes these little takeaways from being, like, in the industry from back in the days, they might still haunt you, still live on in your brain, right? Just mm-hmm. a little aside. So, like, I remember when I'm like in the industry, like around that fourth quarter, so Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, mm-hmm. right? It'd be the time when a lot of blasts go out. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving, right. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
The group two way,
and maybe not even just the group, but just the blast. Because right. I got added to a fucking group chat of 385 niggas just the other day. I politely exited that shit because it's like, come on, dog. You got my shit pinging all crazy. These motherfuckers, I don't know all these people. This is ridiculous. You want to hit me direct. This is bananas. Anyway, so, but I remember people used to kind of side-eye that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this motherfucker's reaching out to his people because it's so, here I go, getting this generic ass Happy New Year. And it was always, sometimes when I look back on the industry, sometimes it was like always this, like part of it was so this insular, jaded type of, you know what I mean, community mm-hmm. where it's like, if you're in it. If you're outside, you ain't in it. You know what I mean? There's all these little rules and etiquette and laughter and all of that other shit. So I'm like, damn, am I looking like the motherfucker that, you know what I'm saying? Happy Father's Day in ass nigga. Just, damn. But it's a Father's Day. It's genuine. Right. But I'm just, look, man, I'm just taking you through the self-conscious overthinking sometimes that it can happen. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And obviously I took a second. I'm like, man, stop playing. You know what I mean? These are people that you fuck with. And it's a genuine shout out. You know what right. I mean? But yeah, man, I was just laughing at that because you were saying, man, this nigga posting his one car or whatever the fuck, and it's just always kind of funny what people get they hung up on.
This nigga love his car.
Look at this nigga. This ain't that car again. Here you go.
Where the fuck he going in that car? Nah, you right. You just gotta shoot your shots and empty the clip, man. Fuck it.
Right.
Ain't much left, because that's how I felt when it went to the shot. Like, damn, I ain't even took no pictures of this motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like I hadn't done enough. You know?
Right. Like, yeah, he was looking at it as if it was like, you was like Jamie Foxx.
Right.
If it was over,
I was the same way, nigga. If I was over, I wasn't happy with it. With what I've done thus far. Same as, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have been happy with, like, damn, I ain't even give it a chance. Merlot got a name, could have a name out here, but I ain't even,
right?
You know, any old way.
Nah, I can dig it.
I was about to say, let's go to Queens, but we got to go to Detroit.
We got to go to Detroit. What up, though?
What up, though?
We're going out to Detroit. This was I only watched it one. Only watched it one time. I was gonna try to brush up on it again, but this was an interesting episode. Yeah. We gonna have a good time. It was funny.
They got a little bit to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, like you said, the actors on Raising Kanan, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got a lot of different weapons, you know what I'm saying? Here you don't have as many weapons, but it's some cats that's starting to, you know what I'm saying, make their presence known. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Meech, little right hand man, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm starting to see him more. He's starting to, you know, have a voice, and everybody looking like they're getting money and shit now. You know what I mean? Except for B. Mickey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He hurting. B. Mickey hurting. That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
And you ain't trying to let him in the fold, nigga. You trying to get robbed, nigga.
But the thing is, he still got his pride, because he did. There was the moment where T hit him with, you know what I mean, like some bread. But he's like, nah, I want to earn that shit. Right. You know what I mean? I want to get back in there. Like, let's not.
But they got him paid as a snitch, though.
Yeah, and I guess I got somebody in the comments on the DMs remind me exactly what it was, because I faintly, you know, it'd be such a, not only is it like a little hiatus between these shows, there's a whole nother show to replace the show that kind of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You forget about what you saw. I know he was working with Bryant, or Bryant was approaching him, and I guess Bryant kind of shaped it to where it looked like, because Bryant was trying to leverage the health of his mother, put his mom's in a better facility, this, that, and the other thing, I need you to do this for me, blah, blah, blah. I know he also somehow got cool with Bryant's son, you know what I mean? So, but I don't believe he ever snitched. I'm just trying to figure out
Bryant
what
was
it.
Bryant was doing some old outside shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? But you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, they come back. They back, flashback to Mexico. I guess they showing us bits and pieces of how
they gonna get that Mexico footage, that BTS.
It's still on that same piece of sand, nigga. they shot in Miami. They back in Mexico. They showing us bits and pieces of how the fissure between T and Meech happens, I guess. And in this particular thing, Loco was, you know, cutting open the deer to pull the organs out to throw the wolves off of them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Throw the wolves something to eat, but get them off of them. T wasn't with it, you know what I'm saying? He was scared, you know, he was, you know, he like, man, let's get the fuck up out of here. Nigga ain't with all this Santeria shit, you know what I'm saying?
Tender dick ass nigga. And the nigga, you know, Meech always says some
crazy. Uh-huh. Reverend Martin Luther Meech is having a fucking epiphany ass moment of reckoning and realization of his power and shit, and he giving it up to Lobo and the Mystery Medicine Man, and T like, you fucking with God, you blasphemous,
right?
And so, you know, but Meech all in. He see his legacy in the fire. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He literally becomes Reverend Martin Luther Meech on the sands of Mexico. You know what I'm saying? And right. So shit. Meech. Go ahead.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about that scene for a second.
No, I was about to go into it, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
You got it.
Stop. No, I got a note.
No, I ain't have a note, but go ahead.
It set me up to expect some different shit, right? Mm-hmm. The way that they shot it, and maybe, I don't know, the way that they shot it, the way that they framed that shot when it was Meech and T having a conversation, but then they had in the foreground, but then they had Lobos in the background getting all of the little innards together and shit, trying to put the shit, you know, get the wolves and shit. Mm-hmm. So you see him in the background while they having this conversation. And I don't know, maybe because I'm watching all these films and shit. It was a part of me that was thinking, and I don't know if it would have been funny or ridiculous. It was a part of me that was thinking that the wolves was about to kill that nigga. Like, they was just going to attack him. Like, ah! But that didn't happen. But what did happen was, out of the blue, Lobos is gone. And they don't really address it. They just turn around and that nigga's gone and they don't really seem to be concerned. Right. Which was odd to me because the whole reason they on the run kind of is one, that's their connect. And two, they trying to get him, you know, the safety or whatever the fuck for, and they out here in fear of these wolves. And all of a sudden, this nigga is not in the scene at all. It bugged me out. I was like, what the fuck is going on? They kind of went to another scene and kept it moving.
Right.
But anyway. Yeah, so, that was odd.
So they, you know, in that narration, Meech has the epiphany that is he's going to be larger than life. He's going to be Escobar, the Black Escobar. You know what I'm saying? And then also in that scene, he says it seems like T cannot catch on. And I'm like, well, first of all, y'all niggas ain't did nothing yet. Y'all niggas ain't even survived the desert yet. So how T supposed to catch on to larger than life when ain't nothing else changed at this point except for we survived thus far, you know? So that was weird. But we flip on back. We back in Detroit, the current times, T in the restaurant, you know what I'm saying? He putting his right hand on B. Mick, you know what I'm saying? Right hand man kind of like, hey, is that really the best use of our time? But okay. You know what I'm saying? So, and then we was following B-Mick rolled up on him because he was asleep. And then he was like, yeah, that was, you know what I'm saying? Tell Meech to holler at me. He was like, man, I ain't here for Meech. I'm here for T. I take orders from T, not you. He was like, tell T to holler at me. I think he'll want to know that his right-hand man ain't shit. He ain't never catch me sleep on the job. Shut the fuck up, snitch-ass nickel.
Right.
It's crazy because, you know, these people you grew up with, these your people, now you know what I'm saying? You're kind of enemies, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's how, that's what the game, that's what, like, the dope game did, you know what I'm saying? You be like, niggas, you grew up, like, these your niggas, you know what I'm saying? But now, y'all beefing because of this business, you know? So, Reverend Martin Luther Meech got plans on bringing in a half a ton of work, you know what I'm saying? And then he was talking to his right-hand man, which made it interesting to me, because his right-hand man was like, yeah, man, appreciate you for keeping that work coming while y'all was in Mexico, which was weird because the niggas in Detroit were starving. You know what I'm saying? Remember, T was trying to figure out what the fuck he was going to do. But the Atlanta nigga was kind of making it seem like they've been getting work the whole time. So that was, I got to figure that part out. So, I don't know if Meech was just sending work to his motherfuckers and not fucking with T, but maybe that's part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
B. Mick was out here struggling as a blue collar worker, working at the factory. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Catching hell at the crib because the money ain't coming in. And you know what I'm saying? The baby's sick. And you know what I'm saying? Baby mama on his ass. So he go up to the church, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But Lucia holding down the pulpit, singing old good old Silver and Gold, you know what I'm saying? B. Mick showed up, you know what I'm saying, to ask for an offering.
A little bereavement.
Lucia was like, let me talk to the board.
Right.
See what we could do.
Charles was trying to nip that shit from the top. He was like, listen, I was working about 7 jobs at one time, so I understand being tired. You know what I mean? If you're tired and you ain't got enough money, you got to work another job.
Hey, man. It's crazy because the setup was so fucked up because he done had this conversation to be me. You know what I'm saying? Just go and get a job, man. Shit, you know, take care of your people, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And that shit flipped right back around on his ass. He was sitting over there playing that sita. And he had a good deal with the consequences. And Lucille be having the one-liners, man.
Oh, man. She be going for the throat. She be killing that man.
But what was
funny to me about that, that moment where, first of all, when Charles got that bad news, right? He's sitting over there with that. It's the slide guitar, I guess. I don't know. We got to be over there. This nigga over there getting his licks together. He ready to go on tour. This nigga creating. He feeling it. He like, ready to get back on the road. Nigga, I got some shit for them. I got some shit for these niggas, I swear. And then he get the damn call. And then the nigga, you know, one of the band members, hey, what up, Chaz? Mm-hmm. First of all, he said, hey, man, what's going on? Hey, Chaz, listen, tour's canceled. Said, what? He said, yeah, you know, brother, you know, vocal cord surgery, vocal cords is not, you know, they not what they are. Mm-hmm. You know, they fucked up. And then he said, damn. He said, well, how soon do you think we're going to be back? I sure needed that money. That was desperation. That was B. Mickey 20 years from now. He was like, I sure needed that money. He said, I don't know. We can't call her. You got to heal. He said, all right, well, tell such and such I'm praying for him.
And Lucille ain't let the phone hang up.
She was on the other end, it felt
that
like.
That nigga didn't even hang up the phone before. She was like, now how you going to pay child support now?
But he said what we been saying. He said, hold on now. These kids is grown. I don't know what the fuck you talking about, all this child support shit. These are not new kids. What are you talking about? We got anything about 3 months.
And anyway, but, you know that nigga owed the last 13 months.
Yeah. He back. But this is the thing. What I want to talk about with that phone call, a couple things. Nigga, if you coming with bad news, don't use my nickname.
Damn.
Don't hit me with Chaz. Hey, Chaz. tour's over. Nah, nigga, Charles. Hey, Charles, listen, I regret to inform you. Let's keep it real. You know what I mean? Let's sit in the sentiment of it all. But it also, what was funny, what was real funny was I like the fact that he was feeling it. He was like, nigga, I need that money. Mm-hmm. How soon? And he said, well, we don't know. And then it's like, nigga, don't pray for me because I know you don't really give a fuck about this nigga's vocal cords. You want this nigga's vocal cords to get better because money talks.
Right.
And money ain't talking right now,
can't
nigga.
Talk right now.
Nah, exactly, nigga. Put money on the phone. But, damn. Yeah, man, that shit was crazy. As soon as he didn't even hang up the phone till she was like, so now what you gonna do?
On him, boy.
That nigga.
So before we get to the next, you know, Lucille one-liners, Nikki and her boyfriend in the new Honda that Reverend Martin Luther Meech brought to the party to show up everybody. They in the back seat playing, spotting, you know what I'm saying? They get to talking about college and, you know what I mean? And he on the way and he want to wait for her and they didn't want to be together.
Right.
So they had like a little jive turkey ass lead up to what was finna happen. Like the words weren't that tight, but we knew what was finna happen. And they got the car steamy, you know what I'm saying? Fogged up the windows.
A lot of condensation.
And then here come the police. Do, 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 do. Could you step out the car?
Right.
Oh, Lord. They took Nikki black ass to jail.
Crazy.
Said her car was stolen, man. Car Meech gave. She's like, my brother gave me this car. Yeah, whatever. Go on in there, get into the, I got a room booked for you at the Gray Bar Lounge.
Yeah, that's fun. That's some old cop shit. That's funny, right? Cop shit. I told her the gray ball lounge.
So she in jail. She called mom. Now we back at the house with the bad news. Right. Mom, first thing she do is call Meech. Motherfucker, you got your sister in this stolen ass car. Now she in jail. This nigga, what that nigga say?
It's too hot right now.
I can't do nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. This nigga say, I can't always say, I can't get involved. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck you mean? You can't, nigga. You solve every other, nigga, you survived a rattlesnake bite in the middle of the desert of Mexico, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Now you can't get involved?
So yeah, that's a first. That's kind of one of the first where he kind of, he didn't have his cape on. Caught him without his cape.
Yeah, this nigga out here in the selfish mode trying to be Pablo Escobar. So now she in jail. They gotta raise bail. She ain't wanna ask him for no money cause that dope money. She in the church, you know what I'm saying? She thought about asking T, but then Charles Chaz was like, nah, you can't do that cause you in the church. That's dope money. You in the church. She like, damn, so nah. Charles like, nigga, Charles, you gotta go get a motherfucker. Go back, get on your knees, nigga, and beg for your job back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He said something about it to her. Lucille said, don't you mean was? You always chasing this pipe dream, nigga. Go get on your knees and beg for your job. I was like, woo.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. That shit was crazy.
That's fight words, but he can't leave.
That shit was crazy. He killing this nigga. I think he might have said, you always hitting below the belt.
Yeah, he said, you always hitting below the belt.
Yeah,
man. Shit. Man, that nigga had to go sell his C-Tar.
Man, and that shit was nice. Even the nigga at the pawn shop was like, woo-wee, this shit nice, nigga. Yeah, man. and fucking shook him down. Look, you gotta get your daughter out of jail, right? All right, nigga, take this. Take this little bit I gave you.
So Nikki come home. That's when that shit got real. Nikki come home, threw a coat on the couch. Lucille like, put it on or take it upstairs. And then, you know, so you in that car having sex with that boy. I know what you was doing. Ooh wee. Nicole went off. Like, you can't tell me what to do. You know what I'm saying? You all high and mighty with your church outfit on now. But shit, when you was my age, you was one in. You know what I'm saying? And one on the way. And he's like, you know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be having no sex. That's what you want to pull out? I'm 18. I can have sex when I want in my car because you can't tell me shit. Like, damn. Charles had to jump in because you know that shit was for the pop.
Referee that shit. Hell yeah. That was going to get nasty. It was going to get nasty. But then Charles hit her with remind me of the, you ever see that meme from Planet of the Apes where
he whispered.
He ain't whisper, you on some bullshit. Whispering Jay Franco. He hit her with the real shit. You got all that grace from them people at the church. You need the whole little bit
for your family. For
people at your house. And then she tight. He said, but you hear me though. Yo, there was such a petty progression in that whole shit. Cause let's get back to that. Even before Nikki got there, when we found out Nikki was in jail, after he done got that badass call, and she said they can get on your knees and get this job, the phone ring again. And he gave her the look like, I ain't picking up the motherfucking phone in this bitch. I ain't answering no phones. So she had to answer the phone. That's how she got the bad news. But Nikki good for letting that chopper fly every so often. You know what I mean? She get explosive every so often. What else is going on?
So,
there's some other shit.
Back in Atlanta. Meech get the word that his sister had the stolen car, so they double back to the car lot where they bought the cars, because the cars are a part of the operation, as we probably will see later. You know what I'm saying? And he thought all of them was clean or whatever, but this one wasn't. So he doubled back up there to try to check the lady who sold him the cars. And in the middle of that, they peeped that Bryant was on the way inside of that damn dealership. You know what I'm saying? Because Bryant done been out there in Atlanta fucking around, snooping around Techwood, done got beat up by the Red Dogs. And you know what I'm saying? They he had to let them know he a police, blah, blah, blah. But they got out in the nick of Reverend Martin Luther King time because he saw it coming. You know what I'm saying? You stay a step ahead, you know what I mean? And so now they like, damn, they on the cars. Should we shut the cars down? Da, 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 da. And then apparently he concocted a scheme to throw them off. You know what I'm saying? Since he knew they was on them. And Bryant was
couple
in.
Couple niggas got killed.
Yeah, Bryant was in on the intercepting the coke plane, supposedly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Supposed to be coming from Colombia, but these niggas fucking with Mexicans. So, you know what I'm saying? We know that's a throw off. And then they raided the plane, you know, the foreshadowing of the Asian cop being all crazy, talking shit. We knew he was going to get killed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he went in, got his ass shot up. But who shot him, though? Was the Colombian shooting? Because they said it wasn't nothing but a phone. Who shot him?
Yeah, that's true. Like who shot? Yeah, that's true.
Friendly fire? Like, what the fuck?
It might not have been that friendly. Somebody had enough of that nigga.
Shot the shit out of that nigga. Boop, boop,
boop. Yeah, man.
Police was the only one shooting.
Yeah, because then the shit was only a flip phone. So how many bullets was in the flip phone?
Right.
That nigga dead. And the shit, nothing in the damn flight. Nothing on the plane. The plane goes to fucking St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And them St. Louis niggas.
Who flew the plane to St. Louis?
I think it was Murphy Lee.
Oh,
he might have been Murphy.
Oh, I guess they rerouted the plane to St. Louis because
Jaquan,
because Meech was already sitting on the sideline watching it all go down to let us know that he put it together like that.
So, of course.
So they flew that shit to St. Louis. Now, what's the nigga in St. Louis? Jay what?
I want to call a nigga Bodie, but I know it's
Jay
not
Dilla.
Bodie. But Jay, yeah,
it is not Jay Dilla, but
Jay Bug or something like that.
Jay Dilla got plans on being Meech. Now he got that load, like, ooh.
We don't need this nigga no
so
more.
So he like,
he just,
I didn't understand it at first, but now I do. He's saying, because I didn't know that same plane went to St. Louis or they rerouted the plane to St. Louis. I missed that. But now that he got the whole load, he's saying if he moved this shit by himself, then the plug won't need Meech. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now he got big dreams. Now we about to have a big problem because Meech started the show, nigga.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, basically, nigga. It's only come on now. You had your shine, nigga, on the wire.
Right.
Yeah. And him and Lobo, they connected.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers, them niggas was in
Loco.
Mexico together. Yeah.
Loco from the OG Power.
Okay, Loco. Okay, yeah, Loco. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. So Loco. It was some funny scenes that just sit there that reminds me of certain shit. Like, not reminds me, it just pops out to me. There's the moment, because I guess they also trying to hint in the fact that like how Meech dabbled a little bit in, I guess, funding artists or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they in the strip club, you know, he loved to be in the strip club. They in the strip club, and then there's the song playing that he like, and then oh shit, that's the artist from the song, and it's some young girl or whatever. And she don't look up to standard for what Meech, for the record, she don't look how she sound. He like, babe, what's going on here? He said, no disrespect, but, and then disrespect. So first of all, your wig piece is looking crazy. Your gear is looking cheap and you're drinking terrible.
Like, what
drinking? Is going on? Yeah, what you drinking? She's like, oh, man over there.
He don't let me drink good.
Mm-mm. He said, nah, we can't have you drinking bad.
Yeah.
And then
take some of this Cristal that I've been drinking out of straight to the head.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour it in your glass. I mean? I don't know where this glass come from because I ain't even using
little backwash. Little backwash and bubbly.
This nigga ain't. Well, go ahead.
The funniest line, though, I don't know my man's name. We call him JJ. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what she said? She said, JJ, that's going to upset JJ. He said, well, JJ already upset me. I said, Meech is a funny dude, man. JJ already upset me. I'm going to tell you this, though, what thing it made me think about, though. I had to go back and Google it. I remember the whole shit. And I know you said you caught a bottle. Quincy sent you a bottle. Mm-hmm. You know, I never had Cristal before.
I never opened that Cristal. It's still sitting over there.
But I know, Jay done, you know what I'm saying, abolished Cristal in the community. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was like, you know, they don't fuck with us. So, you know what I mean? We moving over your Ace now, whatever, whatever. And it kind of basically shut that shit all the way down. Mm-hmm. But it is something about that Cristal bottle that, look, you know, motherfuckers, if you have a certain age, there's certain shit that you kind of grew up. And there's things in your aspiration vision board. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's the Dom, there's the Cristal, you know what I mean? Like, those, the Mo, you know what I mean? And there's certain shit. I was like, damn, I ain't never pop a bottle of Chris. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, would I be going against the movement if I got me some Chris?
Like, Jay finna pop up at your motherfucking local bar?
Exactly. Hey, or D. Somebody gonna be like, come on now. It's like going to Target. It's like, come on now. You know we supposed to be in solidarity. But, yeah, it definitely made me think about, yeah, man, I want to see what this Chris. Even though I'm not a champagne nigga, I just like I like the theatrics of champagne, but mm-hmm. the taste of champagne is not really my shit. Right. I'm not into it.
Right. But, so then we had the one scene where he was with the strippers back at the spot. You know what I'm saying? They about to get into some action. And she break out the pill. I guess it's a Molly, the Blue Dolphin Molly. Uh-huh. And, you know, they kind of fucked up the script right there because it was like she held it up to him. And he mm-hmm. was like, yeah, I don't play with my nose. I'm like, nigga, what? You know what I'm saying?
Right, don't make no sense, yeah.
and then she just said, it'll make you hard, you know what I'm saying? Make you perform all night. We'll have a great time. Right. Then I guess he said, fuck it. Then the narration kicked in. And said, sometimes you got to take a chance and live in the present. You know what I'm saying?
Got to be open-minded.
You got to be open-minded. And they took the motherfucking dope.
Mm-hmm. Famous last words from mad junkies.
Right. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he took the dope and opened his mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to see what happened with that. At first, I thought, like, because I guess that's an interesting point. Maybe that was fucked up in the script. Maybe it was supposed to be coke first, and then she swapped to the other thing. Maybe I didn't even think about that, because it didn't make no sense that it's mm-hmm. a pill, and you like, I don't fuck with blow. But also, the Blue Dolphin, supposed to make your shit hard. I'm thinking it was like some early Viagra, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or some Viagra, because you know Viagra supposed to be, it's like, that's blue.
Yeah, but
that's the blue
pill. They called it out. I don't think Viagra was out then, but she called out the Blue Dolphin.
Right. The Blue Dolphin.
And niggas weren't too much on that shit back then, but it was. I don't know, the white boys was on that shit. And I don't know about Blue Dolphins, but I know white boys
in general
was on that MMDA, you know, which is Molly, and then, you know what I'm saying, all the Percocets and all that shit. They was on that shit back then.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
So, you know, he advanced. So, you know what I'm saying, he probably always ahead of the curve. You know?
Yeah, Agent Zero. Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess they writing the history as Meech invented, you know what I'm saying, being on the
yeah, he was the first nigga to do all this shit. Right. Did all of that shit before y'all niggas.
Right.
You niggas. Anything else we missing? Talked about Bryant's story, Meech, St. Louis Cats. Mm-hmm. We had the moment with I guess T set Markeisha up, you know what I mean, to get in business. And she's like, all right, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
Next time.
He put her in play. Yeah. He put her in play.
Put her in play, but now it's professional.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, she forcing the separation of church and state. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. He came over, walked in. She like, nigga, how the fuck you getting here? He was like, don't you remember I bought this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, so he told her that he was going to put in a play. The nigga was going to report to her. She was happy about that. So he thought he was going to be able to get, you know what I'm saying, get up back mm-hmm. on top of it. But mm-hmm. she, hey, hold on, nigga. It was good you came by. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have a good night. Uh-huh. And next time, hey, knock. Yeah, he was like, ah, Lord. Put this motherfucker in play. Can't even get no play.
Yeah, nigga went from connect to custody.
Right.
Get your ass out of here.
And she's still supposed to be good, but she's supposed to be being good for her husband. So that's gonna get tricky.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. Was that it? Anything else?
Yeah, that's it. That's all my notes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, they talked about Lamar, but Lamar wasn't in the thing at all.
Yeah.
And it's like they talk, like the community talking about Lamar, because I think the young boy was talking about Lamar with Nicki, and she's like, I don't hear that shit.
The streets is talking, so that's going to come back up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it. You know what I'm talking about? So it was, they came out with a solid episode, too. I fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? Back off of the Raising Kanan acting, so now you back acclimated to the pace and the, you know what I'm saying, structure of BMF and its ebbs and flows, you know what I'm saying? So it feels a lot better now. So good that the first one was kind of slow so you could get yourself back into it. And that's that.
That's that. Hopefully, and I think they will, because it's always been their strong point about the show, particularly since it's like, you know, based on true events. I like how they kind of weave Atlanta history or just history in general, whether it's Jack the Rapper. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was this, but I think it is. I want to say they might be going to the Source Awards in this, maybe it wasn't this series. I thought it was. I think they're going to go to the Source Awards or some shit. Like, I like when they had those little, I don't call them Easter eggs, but they had those little, you know what I mean, little side quests where it's like, oh, yeah, right. This was going on at the same time. So let's show a little bit of that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious to see how they bring about some of that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they definitely getting up into the Olympics now. And, you know, we'll see what's what.
You know? They talked about the Tech Wood getting demolished because the Olympics probably about to come up. You know what I'm saying? Because they tore them down for the Olympics. The little news clipping on Bryant's wall was talking about the fight at Jack the Rapper. That was really the Luke Death Row beef. That's what was going on. That's what the fights was all about. But I'm not sure if there was some side fights, but the main shit that got shit shut down was Luke and Death Row beefing. But, you know. Hey.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, that's that.
That's that. Well, that's that. You know what I mean? That is that. Before it's all the way that, let me let y'all know, Batavia, Illinois, I will be there June 26th through the 28th. There might be some tickets still available. Go to DamianLemon.com. You know, we trying to pack it out, have a good time. Comedy Vault. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. And then I'm going to chill for a minute, just do some local shows, but I'll be back on the road sooner than later. But, you know, if you're in that Illinois area, that Batavia area, Batavia, you out in Batavia, Illinois, pull up Comedy Vault June 26th to the 28th. I'll be happy to see you. And, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.